what did we discuss in our previous class? Can't remember. Sita Pragya, yes. Which chapter did we were we discussing? Very good. So we discussed verses, last verses from 54 to 72. So we were discussing the qualities of a Sita Pragya. So what are the qualities of a Sita Pragya?
Sita Pragya knows exactly when to withdraw the senses, just like a tortoise.
And also when to? Only he knows how to withdraw the senses?
When to...
Correct, but only he knows how to withdraw the senses?
Use the
senses in the service of the Lord. Yeah. Okay. What else?
Discussed about who is a Muni and Sitadhira
Muni. Munis have different viewpoints. Sitadhira Muni is?
Fixed.
Yavasayatmika Buddhir. Ekeha Kurunamana. He is always fixed on Krishna. That is Sitadhira Muni. Unwavering. Under any situation. Under any situation, he takes shelter of Krishna. Not because his Ketu Dasha is running, so he goes with oil and, you know, whatever that is. What is that? Potlam.
Til.
To worship the demigods or the, you know, planets. He doesn't run there. In any situation of life, he takes shelter of Lord Narayana, Krishna. What else?
Bhakti must read what is happy in Krishna consciousness.
He wants to be?
Bhakti must read want to be happy in Krishna consciousness.
So in Bhakti, Bhakti itself should be able to keep us happy in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we may spend years and years in Bhakti and not be happy. So the activity of Bhakti itself should be such that it is pleasing to the Lord and we get His reciprocation. And that itself should be our reward. Without we having to seek external recognition as a book distributor or a preacher or whatever. The sheer activity itself should give us anand because we are doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. So that is the Sthita Dhira Muni. So then it doesn't matter. He just goes on doing his activity. Where is Mataji? All right. Anything else? That's all? Okay. So, today we'll begin the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called as
Karma Yoga.
In one sense, the second chapter pretty much touched upon Karma Yoga, but now we are going to go into the details of each type of yoga, and in the next class we'll be starting what is called as a yoga ladder. Not today, next class onwards. That's what is written here. Verses 10 to 16. I hope I tried to draw a step there. Please pardon me. Yeah. What is that? Can I tilt the board? I need 2-3 strong men. I don't mind tilting the board, but I can't do it myself.
It's better to set the horn there.
I won't use the board every time. Okay. Can you see? No, gone. Huh? Okay, anyway, don't worry about it. Even if you can't see, that's fine. Because I'll explain everything. Alright. So before we go into today's class, a few announcements. One is that we had an agreement at the beginning of this class that whoever is going to come into this class and whoever is sitting in this room, of course, except for some guests who would just come for the art class and not come thereafter. So whoever is taking this course should all be chanting 16 rounds. Okay. So I am happy to inform you that by Radhashtami you can come to 16 rounds. And Radhashtami is on 28th September. Okay. 23rd September. 23rd September. So by Radhashtami you have a chance to come to 16 rounds. Otherwise that moratorium period was over. Yeah. So please ensure that by Radhashtami you come to that platform, and if any challenges, pray to Srimati Radhani. Where is Srinivas from? Ah. What about the others?
Shyamala Mataji couldn't come.
She couldn't come. Okay. The second item on the line is that I have sent your leaders, your cell servant leaders, all the essays this morning. So please get in touch with your cell leaders. Your essays for chapter 2 are ready. I'm sure all of you are looking forward to it and are very jubilant and happy to receive it. So your desire is fulfilled. The essay submission will be in 3 weeks time. Okay. So don't worry, it's not 2 weeks. Third week should be there, which is mid of September. That's when your essays are due. Most of all the topics are familiar if you have been attentive in them. You know what to write. Okay. Please ensure that all the topics are covered within a group. That is the cell leader's responsibility to ensure that. Which we don't want everyone to write on, you know, body and soul or something like that. Just because that's easy. And also, Adrian Prabhu and Gunamani Mataji, I don't know, you are not in any group right now. So maybe after the class, whatever group you want to get into, we are fine. So you, cell leaders are there. So we'll have a Swayamvar here. All of them will come. You can garland. Whichever way you want to work it out. The last item is, please keep up with your fees for the class. Krishna Chandra Prabhu has not been giving me very encouraging news in this. So please keep up your fees, because I'll tell you the reason why. There are certain projects which are Bhakti Shastri, temple projects, which our Bhakti Shastri would fund. For example, you know, there is in our Shiva Vishnu temple, Bhakta Prabhu had announced once that we want to establish Prabhupada's books there. So people who go there also have access. It's also there in the notice board. I think we must hurry up before anyone else gets that opportunity to do that service. So that's one. The other thing is that, now I have to take Anirudh Prabhu's permission for this, but there is a long cherished desire in my heart to have an overhead projector which hangs from here, so it doesn't occupy floor space. So when Maharajas come and give lecture, then from there directly it's projecting to the wall. Otherwise people come in and they do all these things, you know. So we don't have to do all that circus. And this whole floor will be free. It will be just hanging. We have that in office. So I just got that idea. We should use it in the temple as well. So we want to fund that, obviously. So these two ideas are there. Unless someone has a better suggestion. So please keep up with your fees. That will only enable us. At the end of the day, hard cash brings equipment. Desires don't. Please, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, contact him if you have any concerns around this. So, okay, let's get on with today's class. Yeah, about Gurujan Prabhu's retreat, yeah. Now, everyone is encouraged to come for Gurujan Prabhu's retreat.
Kesha Prabhu's temple.
Yeah, so that is, why don't you know? I may miss something.
No,
Kesha Prabhu is very concerned that the turnout has not been as usual. Are we having the Sunday class?
At least Saturday everyone can come.
Yeah, Saturday everyone can come. But I would actually like to do the class on Sunday. Personally, I am coming back on Sunday morning.
Saturday
and I would like
night
to do the class. Or Saturday night, sorry. And I would like to do the class on Sunday. What is, if majority is okay with that, then we can go ahead with that plan.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, okay, because we have lost two classes in between. I don't want to stretch this course too long.
So is it two-day program?
Is it what?
The retreat.
The retreat is actually Friday night, Saturday full day, and Sunday almost till 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock we'll be in the farm. By the time we come here, it's at least 5:30. Is that okay with everyone? So we'll have our class. But if someone has a service there or something, if you want to attend, then please, you can, obviously the internet, the video recordings are there. So this one class, you may have to do that austerity.
But everyone is encouraged to come at least on Saturday then to the retreat, because Kesha Prabhu wants.
Everyone is actually encouraged to go for Gurujan Prabhu's retreat.
That's what. Okay.
Obviously, hearing from a senior devotee is more important. So if you miss, don't worry about it.
Day trip sort of thing. You can.
Personally, I'm doing day trip because I have other constraints because of which I'm doing it. So. So we'll send you an email on what is the time of the class. Most probably, it will be after morning Bhagavatam class and Prasadam. Then we'll have our class. So that you come to the temple, attend the morning program, finish the Bhakti Shastri and then go on Sunday. All right. So chapter 3 is called as Karma Yoga. We have quite a bit of ground to cover. We are going to do 9 verses, but it's pretty intense. There's lots of information that will come today. So we'll we'll try and move as briskly as possible. Okay, so chapter 3 is called as Karma Yoga. As usual, let's do the Phala Shruti. Does anyone remember what is Phala Shruti? What's the benefit of hearing chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita? So in this regard, there is a pastime from the Gita Mahatmya. This is from the Padma Purana. So in this, Lord Vishnu, Ananta Shesh, Mahavishnu is still having that conversation with
Lakshmi,
who is massaging his feet like that, the goddess of fortune. So the pastime, Mahavishnu is telling goddess Lakshmi that there was a town called as Janasthan. In this town, there was a Brahmana whose name was Jada. This Jada was a Brahmana by birth, but not by his activities. So his activities were such that he was breaking all the four regulative principles. He was eating meat, he was having intoxication, right? He was having illicit sex, and he was doing gambling. Wherever these four activities reside, there is no place for God over there. So he was breaking all these four regulative principles, and he was not living a austere life at all. He was living a very promiscuous life. Now, one day he decided to earn more money for business prospects. He started going northward. And after he went to north, he earned a lot of wealth from that business trip. Now, as he was bringing all that wealth back to Janasthan, after earning it, he decided to take rest under a tree. And in that night, when you have wealth and you are resting under a tree, who do you expect to come? Dacoits to come. So dacoits came, killed him, took all the loot and went away. So that was the end of all his hard work in this lifetime. Okay. Now, because he died in that way, then he was residing as a ghost in that, under the tree. Now his son, incidentally his son was very pious and he was very devoted to Lord Krishna. So his son set out in search for his father, and through various sources after a long period, then he could not find his father. But so he thought that at least let me go to Kashi and Banaras to do pinda for my father. You know what's a pinda, right? So after 10 days, the last rites of the father. Like sometimes when devotees leave their body, we go to Mayapur and perform the last rites. So he went to perform this pinda so that he can release his father from hellish life, because he knew where his father was headed. So on the 9th day of the journey, he came back, and incidentally he was resting under the same tree. He came to know that his father has gone, and 9th day he came and rested under the tree, same tree where his father was killed. And there he started worshipping the Lord and reading the what?
Bhagavad.
Which chapter? Third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. How did you know that? So third chapter of Bhagavad Gita he started reading. As soon as he finished reading the third chapter, it is mentioned in the Gita Mahatma that there was a loud sound in the sky, and he saw that his father had a 400 Vaikuntha form, and he was looking very effulgent and beautiful. He saw his father, and his father was profusely thanking the son. He said that whatever you can't attain by going to Kashi and doing Pinda, you can simply attain by sitting at home and studying, reading the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So that is the importance. And his father said, by this you have delivered me. I was actually being taken by the Yamadutas. Now you have completely, the Vishnu Dutas have come to take me. So he said, however, my brother is a very sinful person. You know, your uncle, Chittappa. He is a very sinful person. Chittappa means younger, father's brother, younger brother. So he is very sinful. Please go and deliver him also by doing this Bhagavad Gita chapter 3. So the son told the father, why should I only bother about you and your brother? Why not deliver the whole world, whole village? So his son went all the way back and to the village Janasthan, and he started reading this Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 every day. Now by that, what happened was, his idea was that why my village also? Why not I liberate the whole world? That was his mood. Because he was a pure devotee, he was doing that. Now what was happening is that there was unemployment in Yamaraj's abode. Because of this, people were getting liberated by the thousands and millions. Okay, so Yamaraj got little bit concerned that he may run out of his. He didn't understand what to do now. So he ran to Mahavishnu, Anantashesh. He went to Anantashesh and he asked Anantashesh, "What is my duty?" So Anantashesh told him that, "Don't worry about it. I know that your abode is getting empty, but there'll be enough rascals in this world.
So you will always be under employment. So he gave him some assurance, and then Yamaraj goes back to his abode. So this is in very short the Falashruti of reading Bhagavad Gita chapter 3. So while going through this chapter, if you have any near and dear one who was not a devotee, who has left his or her body, then you could dedicate this chapter to them, so that then they can attain a better destination. But not better destination, they can attain spiritual world, Vaikuntha. So the first verse, chapter 3, Karma Yoga. Arjuna said, O Janardhana, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? So Arjuna is still not wanting to fight. Arjuna said, O Janardhana, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare if you think that intelligence is better than fruitive work? Gunamani Mataji, you want to read?
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has very elaborately described the constitution of the soul in the previous chapter with a view to delivering his intimate friend Arjuna from the ocean of material greed. And the path of realization has been recommended with the yoga for Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Krishna consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia, and one with such a misunderstanding often withdraws to a secluded place to become fully Krishna conscious by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. But without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in a secluded place where one may acquire only cheap adoration from the innocent public. Arjuna also thought of Krishna consciousness or Buddha yoga or intelligence and spiritual advancement of knowledge as something like retirement from active life and the practice of penance and austerity at a secluded place. In other words, he wanted to skillfully avoid the fighting by using Krishna consciousness as an excuse. But as a seasoned student, he placed the matter before his master and questioned Krishna as to his best course of action. In answer, Lord Krishna elaborately explained Karma Yoga, or work in Krishna consciousness, in his third chapter.
What are the points here?
Krishna consciousness is not to be inactive.
Sometimes the mind may be saying that we want to do this or do this, which is a game of mind, then person may be sincerely thinking this is right, but one has to be sincere like Arjuna to be submissive to a guide who can tell the right thing.
Very good. Excellent. You got the essence of this.
There was one lecture where Srila Prabhupada was telling one of his disciples that disciple wanted to retire from family life and go to Vrindavan, and Srila Prabhupada said there's enough monkeys in Vrindavan and he wanted to go there because he didn't understand the real essence of the
Any other points?
Prabhupada also in a bunch of Koshchayanandi Vajramandi. So one cannot start practicing Krishna consciousness just without having the devotee association. One has to get a proper guidance. So Prabhupada says advisable to chant the holy name if on their own. So it's just like a regulating their own.
Question, Prabhuji, can I ask now or later? But without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it's not advisable to chant the holy name in a secluded place, Prabhuji. Whatever is the place and the immaterial of the surroundings, we have to say the name of the God and so on. Why is it a bit different here?
So I remember in the Science of Self-Realization CD that Radha Gopinath Prabhu, I don't know if you have heard that CD, it's a popular CD in Melbourne, we give it to him. So in that he says that the father is sitting and father is a devotee of Durga. So father is praying, "Hey Ma, Hey Ma, Hey Mother," he's saying. The son is also hearing, but the son is thinking of Hema Malini, the Bollywood heroine. Hema, Hema. He is thinking like that. Okay. So the name is the same, but you don't understand what that name is all about. Therefore, one needs training on how to chant. For example, Bhurijan Prabhu specifically conducts retreats called as Japa retreats to train us again and again. Even after so many years in Krishna consciousness, he says, one name at a time. Right? For us, at least one name. In 16 rounds we should hear. That is the situation. So there is intent, there is constantly we need to be trained on the art of chanting. In the book also, Dhanurdhar Swami wrote that book, right? He writes the book, The Art of Chanting Hare Krishna. So chanting Hare Krishna is also an art. And we have to understand how to do that. So that requires training. Especially when someone is going to a secluded place. In secluded place, nobody is going to see what we are doing. Isn't it? So the mind can take us anywhere. So therefore, if one is trained completely and then goes, then one is safe. But we'll talk about that now. Let's get the, with this flow, you'll understand the context much better. Alright. So, in Bhagavad Gita 2.49, if you can go back, 49th verse of the second chapter, Lord Krishna gave instructions to Arjuna on Buddhi Yoga. Using your intelligence and Jnana, like that. Jnana and Karma together, Buddhi Yoga. So, Arjuna apparently seems to not have understood that particular instruction, what was given in that verse. So, he imagines that Buddhi Yoga must be, you know, something, a yoga system which tells one to keep away from all abominable activities, which includes killing kinsmen. So, he's thinking like that right now. So, that too, Lord Krishna has time and again use the word Buddhi Yoga over there. So Arjuna is not able to understand that even if Lord Krishna repeats it almost 33 times there in that whole section. 33 times he has repeated that in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, Buddhi Yoga. So he is thinking that if Buddhi Yoga is all about non-violence, then why is the Lord urging me to fight? On one hand he is telling me Buddhi Yoga, on the other hand he is telling me to fight. So he has not really grasped the essence of what is Buddhi Yoga. So he is asking Lord Krishna in this verse, please clear up this contradiction. I don't understand. You are telling one thing there, you are telling one thing here. I don't understand. So Arjuna has understood Buddhi Yoga to be using your intelligence in spiritual advancement of knowledge. He is thinking that it is something like retiring and then going to a secluded place. Use your intelligence. Be non-violent. Don't harm anyone. Go to a secluded place and retire. So he is, even though Lord Krishna has told him time and again, still Arjuna has not, he doesn't seem to have grasped it. He has misunderstood that this karma and jnana, which form part of Buddhi Yoga, he thinks that they are incompatible with one another. And therefore, he is having a confusion in his mind. So he is telling the Lord, please tell me one thing now. What should I do? Like that. Now, when I studied this, the first thought that came to my mind, what is it, you know? We have understood, so why Arjuna cannot understand? Did this thought cross any of your mind? Yes. Why is Arjuna so dumb, you know? He is not understanding this, when we have all understood it. So then I was thinking, then the answer came immediately, that we are sitting on a nice Saturday evening inside a cozy room with lighting and chair and table and notes and recorder and MP3 player, incidentally, and then we have had nice prasadam and come to the room. So everything is cozy. We can ask doubts nicely. There's a lot of time. People, you know, somebody will answer. And then by chance, if we are dozing off, then we can pick up from the recording or ask the neighbor what happened in the class, like that, right? So all these facilities there, but please understand. And then Arjuna did not get purports. We got purports. And on top of that, somebody is facilitating the class. So there was nothing like that. So there were only Krishna, if you actually go back to, and he was in Kurukshetra, battlefield, and Lord Krishna is talking to him only once, every verse. He's not saying, hang on, can you repeat 2-3 times? No. He has to know he's in the battlefield, there's no time. So then I got my answer. So if we, just imagine, we are all here in the class 1, we just read all the verses and then say, okay, done. Now, what is Buddhi Yoga? Prabhu, I didn't understand. What? I told. So that is what Arjuna is going through. So we can empathize with Arjuna if we think like that. Because this has also crossed my mind. Okay. So Arjuna's confusion is believable in that sense. So Arjuna, because he was confused, he also deep inside he's a Vaishnav. So what is the one quality of a Vaishnav? Compassionate. So he somehow didn't want to engage in this battle. So he is skillfully using confusion to avoid this battle. That is the mood of Arjuna right now. And Prabhupada also gives in this verse the analogy of going to a secluded place and chanting. Now, as Janeshwar Prabhu pointed out, there are two types of saints. One is called as Bhajanandi and one is called as Goshtiyanandi. In ISKCON, what is our mood? Goshtiyanandi. So we are not encouraged to go to the retire in Vrindavan prematurely and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because what has happened is many people, before lust, anger, envy, greed, pride goes out from the heart, they go and do what is called as Nirjan Bhajan in the forest. But because these qualities are still there, even in the forest, we will seek some kind of cheap adoration from someone. Just like so many people sit under a tree and then put some kumkum. You know, Gaurang Prabhu gives in one lecture. Saints and swindlers. And we are going to talk something from that lecture today. Right? They put kumkum and then people will come and put, and they will grow a beard. So people will think they are very elevated because of their long beard and matted hair. And then what will happen is because of some people's karma, they may get passport to, or a visa for, United States. So they will think that, because of Baba's blessings, everything is happening now. And Baba will engage another two fellows. He will say that, okay, out of the loot, I will share. You also sit and glorify me. Go and spread my glories. So this is what is happening. So Gaurang Prabhu calls this as business development. Right? So this is very common in India. So we understand this. So till all these anarthas, till we get that Sthita Dhira Muni's buddhi, where we want nothing else but the service of the Lord, it is very dangerous to get into retired life or go into a secluded place and start chanting. For 2-3 days we may chant, but after that, we'll be resting under a tree. And then after 5 days we'll come back, and see, can I get a job back in Microsoft or IBM? That is how our mind is. So it is not possible. The heart needs to melt for Krishna. Only then, and constantly it needs to melt, not occasionally. Then we can go and do Nirjan Bhajan. So Arjuna is asking this question, fortunately, for all of us also, despite purports and all these classes. So once again then Lord can clear up his confusion and talk about yoga ladder. So actually we have already completed the yoga ladder in one sense. But obviously if we ask people to present on yoga ladder, we say, Prabhu, can you give 1 week to prepare and all that. So Arjuna did not have all that. So Arjuna is therefore asking Lord again, so that again Lord may repeat the details of each in different chapters. So this whole chapter is dedicated to karma yoga aspect now. So this question of his in the third chapter lays the foundation for karma yoga. So from verses 3 to 9, Lord Krishna is now addressing Arjuna's defect in his desire to renounce his duty. So it's a defective understanding Arjuna is having. From 3 to 9, it's all about that. Any points? My intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. This is just a continuation of the same thing, same concept. So we don't need to read the purport now. We'll read the third one. So now the Lord is answering him out of this confusion. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical philosophical speculation and others by devotional service. Jai Muni Prabhu, can you read?
In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga. Or Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explained the same yoga. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter, the subject matter for the person who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in the 61st verse of 2nd chapter. The Lord has explained also in 39th verse that working by the principles of Dhiti Yoga or Krishna consciousness, one can be redeemed from the bonds of action, and furthermore, there is no flaw in this process. The same principle is more clearly explained in the 61st verse, that is, Buddhi Yoga. He is dependent entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically on Krishna. And in this way, all the senses can be brought under control very easily. Therefore, both the yogas are interdependent, as religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna consciousness. This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self. The indirect process of his philosophical speculation, by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And the other process is directly connecting everything in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better, because it does not depend on purifying process by philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process, and by the direct method of devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and effective.
What are the points?
Krishna
consciousness is direct matter in the material
experience. Don't look at the board. Okay, no problem. The two methods mentioned in this empirical and philosophical speculation and the devotional service. And this empirical and philosophical speculation itself can't lead to the ultimate conclusion because they are not foolproof.
Why they are not foolproof? Why empiric philosophy?
Because of the defect senses are there.
Because there are four defects we have. What are the
imperfect senses, opportunity to cheat,
and because of mics, M-I-C-S. Human beings make mistakes. We can hear under illusion, cheating propensity, and senses are in the short form. You forget. Any else?
Even by following the philosophical process of speculation, ultimately one has to again come to the platform of devotional service if he has to go back to the spiritual world. It is not by speculation alone he is going to go back.
So the Lord cannot be understood by speculation. He can be only understood by devotional service. Bhaktiya maam abhijanati yavan yash chashmi tatvata. It's a very famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says you cannot. We have to transcend the three modes of material nature, first of all. Otherwise, it's not possible. Maam cha yo vyabhicharana bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Sagunan samatityaitan. All the three modes, the gunas have to be transcended. One has to come to the Brahma Bhuta platform to be able to understand Bhagavan. Otherwise, it's not possible. We cannot understand God if we are breaking the four regulative principles. Eating meat, having intoxication, having illicit sex, gambling, and then with all varied interests, horse racing, what is the tennis match going on here? Australian Open, and then, 2020. With all this, movies, it's very difficult. All this will just take us away from the goal of human form of life. So one has to come back and focus on the goal of life. Otherwise, one is not going to attain the destination. Yes, Prabhu, you had a question?
No, Prabhupada says in the purport that Sankhya Yoga and Buddhi Yoga are interdependent. And then he gives a line saying that religion without philosophy is sentiment. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So, can you interpret this that, without devotional service, we cannot achieve perfection. But at the same time, if we don't have the philosophical knowledge which is coming from Sankhya Yoga, we cannot just engage in devotional service. What is?
Yeah. So,
for bhakti, simplicity is required. Simplicity of heart, which we do not have. Why we do not have? Because of we have all studied in big universities. That is the problem. So Prabhupada says these modern day universities, they don't give you any knowledge of soul. In fact, in one of Gaurang Prabhu's lectures, he mentions that it is very important to see spirit behind matter. But in the Western countries, it's people try to see matter behind spirit. He mentions that. So people have no idea of what is spirit and what is matter. Now, when we are preaching to someone, then if we just tell them, okay, take this bead and then chant. For example, today, you know, nobody was there to give Saturday class. So I had to just go and, you know, do an extempore class this evening. So I was wondering what to tell these people. It's very difficult to explain Bhagavad Gita in 45 minutes. So that's how, sorry, I should have switched it off. Can you please, don't answer it, just keep it with you and switch it off. Sorry, what was I saying? I lost my thoughts.
Saturday class.
Yeah, so in the Saturday class, then in 45 minutes you have to explain the science of Bhagavad Gita. So Vrishni Vamsa Prabhu gave me a goal. He said by 6 o'clock they should all start chanting. Tell them such that they will start chanting. No, we had to really run with the philosophy. Now if we just say, all of you have come to Hare Krishna temple, it's a very nice thing, the Lord is there, he is playing flute, you know, he is God, you must all be very obedient to God, he is omnipresent, you know, something like that, if I tell them, then they'll say, hang on, what's going on here? Right? We must all become very good people, you know, be pious, you know, don't be a bad person, don't drink. Suppose we tell like this, nobody is going to, you know, yeah, it sounds like Papa. You know? There is a song which Madonna had said, Papa don't preach. You have heard that song? Yeah. So like that, it's Papa don't preach type. So we have to give them logically, we have to connect that Bhagavad Gita, we have to go down to their level and explain to them. Said, hang on, forget, keep aside Bhagavad Gita. What do you want in life? So three people raised. One said peace of mind, another said happiness. He said, exactly. Now we are talking, right? And then we have to explain to them, this happiness you will not get eternally in this life because the body is bound to, because you are going to die. So then we have to explain the phenomenon of death to them. But before that, you have to take a step back and tell them you are not your body. So death is nothing but the soul moving from one body to another. Then we have to tell them that you are not made of earth, water, fire, air either, but you are eternal. So your body merges into earth, water, fire, air either. So all these metaphysics we have to explain to people. Otherwise, they will not understand why they should work for the long term. There is Shreyas and then there is Prayas. Shreyas is working for the long term and Prayas is working for the short term. The whole world thinks that they are the body. But after all, what is there? Life is short, so drink and be merry and enjoy. Why worry about anything? Life is short, so make merry. So how do we tell them that life is not short, life is eternal? So we have to first tell them that. So for that, we have to give them this philosophy. Otherwise, they will not have any incentive to work towards the longer term. That's why Lord Krishna also in the Arjuna, you know, he tells Arjuna very early on in Bhagavad Gita, if you don't understand that you are not the body or the soul, you will understand nothing of what I am talking. Nothing will make sense. Who will do Bhakti Yoga if we know that we are not going to exist in 20 years? Who will do Bhakti Yoga? Nobody will do. So we have to explain to people the concept of eternality. Sat, Chit, Anand. The first feature is eternality. Unless they understand the Sat feature, they will not understand the Chit and Anand feature. So therefore philosophy is required to be given to them. So what is that sentence what Prabhupada writes? Philosophy without religion is?
Religion without philosophy.
Yeah. Sentiment. So otherwise it will become sentiment. But at the same time, what does he say? Mental speculation. So philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Why? The genesis of philosophy lies in the tenets of religion coming from a Purusheya, from the Vedas. Otherwise anyone can speculate anything. People will say, I think. Prabhupada always writes, people say, I think. Who cares what we think? Right? So many people think so many things. Someone is calling some particle as the God particle. He thinks it is God particle and others have a view on that. So this is not going to help us transcend the three modes of material nature. So both are required. Philosophy is also required. Religion is also required. So Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami బుద్ధి యోగం తమ్ ఏనమం ఉపంతితే. హీ ఫాలోస్ అప్ బై సెయింగ్ తేషాం ఏవను కంపార్థం అహం అజ్ఞాన జం తమః నాశయామి భావస్తో జ్ఞానదీపేన భాషత. సో హీ సెయింగ్ బై పర్ఫార్మింగ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ ఐ విల్ గివ్ యూ ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ బై విచ్ యూ క్యాన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ మీ రైట్. సో దేర్ ఫార్ ఓన్లీ ఫిలాసఫీ ఇఫ్ వీ గివ్ అండ్ పీపుల్ డోంట్ చాంట్, పీపుల్ ఆర్ నాట్ గోన్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద ఫిలాసఫీ రైట్. ఇఫ్ వీ ఆస్క్ దెమ్ టు చాంట్ విదౌట్ గివింగ్ ద ఫిలాసఫీ, దే ఆర్ నాట్ గోన్ టు చాంట్. సో బోత్ ఆర్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ లైక్ దట్. ఎనీ అదర్ పాయింట్స్?
We see all these philosophies nowadays, no, this scientology and all that. They are not, they are, that clearly proves that, you know, Prabhupada says philosophy without religion. They are not alluding themselves to any religious thing or anything. It's just their own empty speculation, all these new things which are coming up.
Okay. And we're going to talk about that in this section, how people are using that. So, good point. Yeah. Okay. So, if you go back to Bhagavad Gita 2.39, Lord Krishna has explained two processes there. Can you see that? Thus far I have described this knowledge to you through analytical study, which is what?
Sankhya
Yoga. Now listen as I explain it in terms of working without productive results. So he's talking about Nishkama Karma Yoga now, right? Oh son of Pritha, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. So Lord Krishna is explaining Sankhya Yoga based on Jnana. Two things he is explaining. Sankhya Yoga based on Jnana and Buddhi Yoga based on Karma. Sankhya Yoga based on Jnana and Buddhi Yoga based on Karma. So he is explaining two things. And the Lord is saying there is no incompatibility between these two processes. There is no incompatibility between these two types of yogas. But rather they are two different rungs on the yoga ladder, which we will do in detail later on. But Lord is just setting that context. Don't think they are two different things. They are nothing but steps, right, on the yoga ladder. And based on one's level of faith, nishtha or purity, that's what Prabhupada writes here. Based on one's nishtha or purity, then one can decide on what step he wants to climb. Now the beauty here is that one need not start from step one. This is such a ladder that you don't have to step on the lowest ladder to go to the next ladder. You can directly jump to the highest ladder. But some people do not have faith to jump to the highest ladder. So therefore they need slowly to understand this. That's why when some new people come, you know, directly we can't teach them rasa tattva, right? Or we cannot directly tell them, you know, follow the four regulative principles and, you know, chant 16 rounds. You know, we can't give them such high instructions. For someone is, if someone is a drunkard and he has fallen in the gutter, the lower level instruction is what? Drink, but at least don't drink so much so that you fall in the gutter. That will be the first level instruction. We can't tell them that, you know, come on, you know, worship Radha and Krishna, you know, Dharma stands on four pillars. You know, we can't actually ask them, do some austerity, why don't you fast on Ekadashi from grains and beans? These are all very high instructions for a newcomer. So first we'll say, thodi thodi, drink little, thodi thodi piya karo. Okay? And gutter mein na gira karo. Even if you drink, don't fall in the gutter. Have some consort with you, so that, you know, when you are drinking, low level instruction. Then slowly we start bringing him from Victoria Bitter to Charanamrit. Slow process. So such rascals will need the yoga ladder step by step by step by step by step by step. Then we have to tell him about little from Garuda Puran. What happens in the hellish planetary systems, where there is, you know, oceans of stool, urine and blood. Do you want to go there? He said, no. Come to the temple. Chant Hare Krishna. So gradually they'll come. You have to give them a lot of prasadam and a lot of love. Be patient with them. Like that. Tell them from Ekadashi, from three cigarettes, you will come to one cigarette. Correct? So this is the way we have to preach. Unfortunately, it is like that. It's not. Prabhupada says one has to spill blood, tons of blood, to make 1% devotee. Like that. To make 1% devotee. Right? So, depending on one's nishtha or faith, one can directly jump to the higher ladders. So nothing stops like that. So, karma stage or the platform of activity is, this is the platform at which work is recommended. Karma stage is the platform at which work is recommended, and Jnana stage is the platform where one is sufficiently enlightened and pure so that he can renounce work. In that sense, they are different rungs in the yoga ladder. Of course, we'll come to Bhakti Yoga also. Bhakti Yoga, we are going to discuss that now. So they don't lead to different directions. The direction is the same, but two different levels. So here we have a chart which we have put together for you. So Sankhya Yoga is on the left hand side, and we have Buddhi Yoga. You can't see, right? Have you lost you already? Can you see?
Yes, okay.
Your promise. So there's Sankhya Yoga, which is based on philosophical speculation, and Buddhi Yoga, based on Krishna consciousness. Now, what is the difference? Sankhya Yoga is an indirect path. Why is it, sir? It's an indirect path. Because you are saying, for example, I was talking in the evening class also today, if someone has cancer, let us say, so he is about to, you know, he is in a dangerous stage. So you tell them, take this medicine. He will say, I will take this medicine, but I need to understand how medicines cure cancer. You tell me that first. He can ask, right? He is well within his rights to ask that. Then he said, this medicine contains sulfur and phosphorus. Phosphorus will kill your cancerous cells. Sulfur will give you strength. And, you know, so I'm here explaining to that person. But by the time I finish my explanation, what will happen? Operation successful, patient dead. Everything is clear. Now I'm clear. I'm not. So there is no point, you know, in that. So to such a person, then what you have to do? When he is directly in the last stage of cancer, you have to say, hang on, I'll explain everything to you. But please take this bottle and eat this medicine. Because the medicine will work on you whether you believe or whether you don't believe, how it works. Even if I don't understand the metaphysics of how Panadol cures fever, if I pop a Panadol, it will cure fever. Right? I don't need to understand that. So this part says that, no, I have to first understand. Slowly I'll first understand what is indirect part. I'll first understand, I'll analyze all the matter in this world using the Naiti principle. Naiti means what? You take this and you say, is this matter or spirit? Oh, this is matter. Okay, this is not God. Is this matter or spirit? Can this sharpener be God? No, it is matter. So if I try to understand in this way, you know how many lifetimes it's going to take till you come to the point of understanding what is spirit. So Naiti principle. Take matter by matter and do an elimination process till you arrive at that which is not matter. Right? And these people, I think, are calling it an anti-matter or something. But actually, that is spirit. There are only two things, matter and spirit. Vedas are already declared. It is an indirect path. It's a slope path. Whereas this is a direct path. Here, you have to go through several runs to come to the platform of God. Whereas if someone has little bit of nishtha and faith, he'll say, okay, I have full faith that Panadol will cure. Give me the Panadol. But incidentally, I'm interested in understanding how Panadol cures fever. Okay. First get cured of your fever. After that, let's sit and understand. Because then your brain will start working now. So that is the process of Bhakti Yoga. First, you straight away jump with faith, practice it, and you will see that it is working. Even in the evening class, I was giving the example of mango. And even in our Milpa program, we were giving that example. So mango is sweet. If someone has not tasted mango, I can give 1,000 lectures on mango. It is oval in shape, it is yellow in color, it has got a thick skin, inside it there is a nice pulp, there is some juice also, then you can peel the skin, you can mix it with milk and jelly. All that is fine, but still someone will not understand the taste. You just say, okay, eat the mango. Oh yeah, it's very tasty. Simple. You have faith that it is tasty, you take and then eat it. And then you understand about mango and you tell others also, you know that mango fruit very nice, you also eat. So this is the process with Bhakti. So it's a direct path, but it requires faith. Either you start with faith or you start with speculation. Here, because you are going to speculate, the result depends on your personal endeavor. You are not putting faith in the Lord. Whereas here, you are getting Krishna's mercy directly. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yenam upayantite. He is giving you the intelligence by which you can go to him. Here we are unsure of success, because we don't know in this lifetime whether we understand spirit and matter. Usually the answer is no. Very few people. Right? Not possible. Whereas here what the Lord says, he says, Maam evaishi satyam te pratijane priyotane. Pratijane priyosime. He is giving guarantee. Satyam. I am guaranteeing you will come back. So he is giving surety to us in Bhagavad Gita. Simply Maam, what is the verse?
मन्मनाभावः मद्भक्तो मद्यार्थि मां नमस्कुरु मां ये वैशिष्ट्यं ते प्रतिजानन्ति मन्मनः जस्ट वर्शिप मी दैट्स ऑल एंड आई एम गारंटिंग यू आई विल टेक यू बैक एंड सॉरी Srila Prabhupada made it even more easier for us. Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry about all that. Lord Krishna is saying that, you know, you surrender to him completely. Sarva dharman paritya. But all of you guys, you cannot surrender. Right? We are even attached to our, MP3 players. So it's very difficult to surrender in this world for all of us. Surrender is a very big word. Saranagati. Atma Nivedana. Very big word. So for us, we are in the stage where, you know, in this lifetime, we don't know if our false ego will go away. Isn't it? It's highly possible it may not go away by the time we leave our bodies. So what Srila Prabhupada said, he said, don't worry. You chant 16 rounds and follow 4 regular rounds. If you don't get through the front door,
take it.
So our philosophy, our entire movement is based upon mercy of the Lord. If we still don't get it, we get mercy of Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnavas are more merciful than the Lord himself. So Srila Prabhupada went to the United States. Hippies, they asked Prabhupada, we all became happy. What was our qualification? Prabhupada said, you don't have any qualification. I made your qualification. So, and Acharya is more compassionate than the Lord. The servant of the Lord is more compassionate. So our movement is entirely based on mercy, and because of that we are sure. At the moment of death, even if we can't chant, then Vaishnava will chant for us and lift us. So whereas here, I am trying to do everything by my own personal endeavor. And also to do this Sankhya Yoga, you need initial purification. To follow all these processes, you need initial purification by regulating your life. Sankhya Yoga is a part of Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga needs intense regulation of life. So we have to follow the religious principles. Right? So no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. The 4 regulative principles have to be followed. So that the intelligence, first we come to the human platform of life. Only then we will have the intelligence to do all this analysis which is required of Jnana Yoga. Whereas here, even if so many people come, they say, I cannot give up my meat. Can I come for the class? Oh, no problem, come. Meat what? Even if you eat human, you are cannibal, you come. Yeah, no, we don't say offer it to you. So we say, come, no problem. Along with whatever you are eating, you also eat this Krishna. There is no qualification. Absolutely anybody, Kirata, Una, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulakasha, they are all mentioned in Srimad Bhagavata. Lowest of lowest class. Did I say Andhra? That's why you are looking at it. Mentioned in Bhagavata. Lowest of lowest class men, even they can be delivered by the process of bhakti. So nobody is disqualified from this process. Even a dog eater can easily go back to Godhead if he comes. So, and here, the end and the means are the same. Here the end and the means are not the same. There is something, some initial austerity you have to do, and then you have to do something on top of that. Whereas over here, Prabhupada said chanting begets chanting. Chanting is the process and chanting is the goal also. Right? So the end and means are same. So why to break our heads by going into this kind of a yoga system? Better easily follow this in Kali Yuga. We don't have to give up our jobs, we don't have to read the 4 Vedas, all the Upanishads, nothing. We just come to the Paramahamsa Samhita, Srimad Bhagavata, and that's all. Just read it, go back to God. Even that, of course, we find it very difficult. It's a different matter.
It's a very easy process. However, as much as these differences are there are 3 commonalities. And Prabhupada writes that both these processes are interdependent on one another. What is that interdependency? That statement which Prabhupada writes. Religion without philosophy is sentiment, and philosophy without religion is speculation. So both are required. We need philosophy also, but we need to do something practical. We need devotion also. Both are required to go hand in hand. That's why we have all these courses like Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti Vriksha, Science of Self-Realization, seminars. We have all this to give people faith. And also these kind of classes appeals to people who think that they are, who are more academic oriented, and who think that they are very logical and scientific, things have to be explained to such people. So these kind of programs help. Also, the ultimate goal is Krishna in both the cases. Ultimately, even the Sankhya Yoga people will come to the same platform. The Jnana Yogis, when they act, what is the maximum that a Jnana Yogi attains? Brahman. So when he goes to Brahman, the Jnana Yogi sees everything outside. He sees the divine light. Right?
But still Prabhupada said in Brahman, what will you do in Brahman? Prabhupada said, you will get bored. So there is no activity. The nature of the soul is to act. So everywhere when you are seeing divine light, then you want to see what is the source of that light. So what you do? Now you are seeing outside, you can't see the Lord. So you close your eyes and start seeing inside. And when you see inside, that is called as Dhyana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, meditation. And inside when you meditate, then what is the perfection of that Ashtanga Yoga? 400 form of the Lord, right? That is the Paramatma. So from Brahman realization, you are moving to Paramatma realization. But simply seeing the Lord is not enough. In fact, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, what did he say? Don't try to see the Lord. Act in such a way that the Lord wants to see you. Why? Because when we act in such a way that the Lord wants to see us, we are establishing a relationship with the Lord. Otherwise, simply seeing is okay. So if Tom Cruise comes to the temple, and if we are simply seeing him, that's one level of, oh yeah, yeah, I saw Tom Cruise. We can put in Facebook, right? Correct. But at the end of the day, if Tom Cruise knows me very well, and Tom Cruise is asking me, how's your flu now? You know, then there is a relationship between me and him. That's still higher. I'm just using a mundane personality. But with Lord also, just seeing the Lord is one thing. But then gopis are actually, they are seeing the Lord all the time. What is more important is they are wrestling with the Lord. They are playing with the Lord. Radharani is getting angry with the Lord. Yashoda mother is feeding butter to the Lord. So there is a level of intimacy. So that is the highest Bhagavan realization. Understanding, having a relationship with God in one of the mukhya rasas. That is very important. So all that is not possible through. It's a very slow process going through Sankhya Yoga. But even when you go through Sankhya Yoga, you will have to go through these ladders. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdhyate. Right? So ultimately their goal is also Krishna. But here we are directly attaining it with faith. With faith in the bona fide scriptures and with faith in the bona fide spiritual master and disciplic succession. The purpose, the third commonality is the purpose is to establish the real position of self with the super self, which we already discussed. Super self is Krishna. And that rasa tattva, getting that rasa. So it's a common between both. Ultimately, they'll all lead to the same goal. So why to go through the painful process? So that is the gist of text 3. Are there any comments, any points?
So, Guru, is it right to say that Sankhya Yoga is a part, like when we are into Buddhi Yoga, we are covering whatever Sankhya Yoga is.
Yeah. Buddhi Yoga covers everything. But Sankhya Yoga can be considered as a part of Jnana Yoga in that sense. The initial part of studying, classifying matter and spirit. Like that. But Bhakti Yoga covers all kinds of yoga. Everything is covered. We study second canto and third canto. So that is Sankhya Yoga, right? But as much as we do that, we also study the 10th canto. So everything is there. There is Ras and there is philosophy. Both are there.
So, Prabhu, this Sankhya Yoga is what Kapila Deva.
Kapila Muni gave to Devotee.
So the goal of Sankhya Yoga is Hridaya Granthi Abhedanam. We discussed it in the earlier class. To cut the knot of material attachment by knowing that, by knowing what is matter and what is spirit. Okay. Text 4. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Mahesh Prabhu, you want to read?
The renounced order of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of the prescribed form of duties which are laid down just to purify the hearts of materialistic men. Without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyasa. According to the empirical philosophers, simply by adopting sannyasa or retiring from fruitive activities, one at once becomes as good as Narayana. But Lord Krishna does not approve this principle. Without purification of heart, sannyasa is simply a disturbance to the social order. On the other hand, if someone takes to the transcendental service of the Lord, even without discharging his prescribed duties, whatever he may be able to advance in the cause is accepted by the Lord, Buddhi Yoga. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a slight performance of such a principle enables one to overcome great difficulties.
Order
This point we discussed many times. Immature retirement is not good.
So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here when to accept the renounced order of life. Only when the heart is sufficiently purified by discharge of devotional service can we accept the renounced order. Otherwise, again, as we mentioned, we already discussed this, that if we directly take, just change our dress from Brahma, you know, from whatever to saffron, from white to saffron, but inside still meditating on the opposite sex, you know, lust, anger, envy, greed, pride, everything is there, then there is no point. And such a sannyasa is a disturbance to society. Why? What happens sometimes is, you know, we see in many temples and congregations, we see suddenly somebody is, you know, coming to the temple. After a few months, suddenly he is donning saffron robe. After some time, mood changes. Then the color also changes to white. After some time, again it changes to saffron. After some time, the person is gone from Krishna consciousness. After 3-4 years, he surfaces with a beard. So many things are going on. So this, what will happen is, by doing this, we are not only ruining ourselves, but when we are inside the temple, that person may have given a class or two. You never know, right? When he was donning the saffron robe. So there must be someone, there is always someone who connects to someone in this temple, right? So for that someone, this person has inspired them. Now when they see this person after some time, going back to white and, you know, with the beard or whatever, right? And earrings, if you come to the temple, then the person loses faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. They don't know what's going on. So it is a disturbance to the social order. That kind of, you know, saffron robe or whatever that ashram is, right? It just creates, disturbs people. So one has to be very responsible. We are all ambassadors of Srila Prabhupada. We have to be very, very responsible of how we conduct ourselves. Because there are a lot of people who Krishna is inspiring through us, right? So if we do something abominable, they lose their faith. That is a problem. It happens. In many congregations, such a thing happens. That somebody is, you know, inspiring so many people, and suddenly they fall down, and then everything, people lose their faith. So one has to guard one's devotional service very carefully. So till the time that we really reach that position of Sthita Dhira Muni, one must not prematurely adopt the sannyasa robe. Harmful for oneself as well as for society. So that is the gist of this. On the other hand, Prabhupada says, better than that is laudably accept whatever ashram that one is able to follow, and then gradually progress. That is better. Whatever progress you do in that path, anyway will save you from the greatest danger. So take the safe path. So in Kali Yuga, it is said that best ashram is Grihastha ashram. It is Brahmachari ashram, and sannyasa is very risky proposition. So unless one is completely pure, one must think 10 times. So even if a brahmachari comes and asks, you know, I'm thinking whether to marry or not, that question itself says that the person should get married. Like that. This is our experience. When someone asks that question, means some attraction is there somewhere. Otherwise, why will someone ask? Isn't it? So then better get married. So that way we are protecting that person. Of course, if the person is not asking that question, we always encourage somebody who is showing signs of taking Brahmachari ashram. We always fan that. For example, there was one person who was coming to our Bhakti Vriksha program. Now our Bhakti Vriksha program, you know, is mostly Grihastha based program. But this person had spark to take Brahmachari ashram. So immediately, not only one, we have seen many, many people from our program who have spark of Brahmachari ashram. So immediately we told them, very good, from tomorrow onwards you will attend the youth program. We removed them immediately from there and put them in the youth program. Because that program is better, more conducive for developing Brahmacharis. In our class, when everyone sees husband and wife sitting together, somebody may think, you know, but when will my partner come? You know, I can also sit like that nicely. They may not have lusty desires, but generally the thought can come, you know, I will be sitting here, my wife will be sitting on the other table, and then she will take notes, I will take notes, you know, all those things. The mind is really crazy, right? So the mind will give so many suggestions. So it's better than, you know, if the person wants to accept Grihastha ashram, that's perfect. But if the person wants slight traces, if he's showing off taking brahmachari ashram, better that he goes for a program where, you know, not much interaction with grihasthas is there. Of course, when the person adopts brahmachari and becomes very fixed, then the same person can come and preach to grihastha. That's a different thing, because he would have been sufficiently trained. Okay. Any points? Anything? Anyone want to share anything? Thus far? Okay. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something even for a moment. Adrian Prabhu, you want to read?
It is not a question of embodied life. It is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness, otherwise it will be engaged in occupations dictated by material energy. In contact with the material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes, and to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage it in the prescribed duties enjoined in the sastras. But if the soul is engaged in his natural function of Krishna consciousness, whatever he is able to do is good for him. The Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17 affirms this. Chakva swadamam charinam bhujam. If someone takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the prescribed duties in the sastras or execute the devotional service properly, and even though he may fall down from the standard, there is no loss or evil for him. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purification in the sastras, what does it avail him if he is not Krishna conscious? So the purificatory process is necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sannyas, or any purificatory process, is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious, without which everything is considered a failure.
What is the understanding here?
One follows the devotional life and falls down, then fully follows ashram or these duties. The example where the brahmanas are doing the yajna and the Krishna's friends come and ask for some intervals and they have been chased away, but the same brahmanas' wives they offer, so they get more.
Every person has his own nature and he has to work according to his own nature. So he has to find out what his nature is. So if his nature is to work, then he should engage in that work and do devotion service. And if he finds out that he can be in a brahmachari ashram or doesn't have to work full time, then he can take up. That's, I think, from the translation, that's what it means. So, based on what our nature is,
yep,
we should take up work accordingly.
Rather than
imitating somebody else's nature.
That is the point, yes. That is the gist of this verse. Everyone has to work according to his or her own nature. Yes, Prabhupada.
So, no, actually what Prabhupada is telling in this purport is, he's talking about the glory of the soul here. The nature of soul is always active. And he is also telling, since the soul is active, soul is transcendental, it must have to engage in transcendental activity. Since we are in the material world, we might fall down by engaging in this. And what we should engage? Being a soul, because we got the knowledge in the second chapter. Now in this verse, right, Prabhupada clearly is explaining, we cannot be idle, because the soul is active. So the soul, we have to engage in an activity what is required for the soul. And he is elaborating on that.
Okay. Yeah, so both of you, whatever you said, they complement each other. They are not contradicting one another. Same point he is also saying. We have to understand that though we are spirit soul, the soul is currently under the influence of the three modes of material nature. So, one has to understand in which mode one is and dovetail one's propensity in that mode best to transcend those modes.
use the material and energy in Krishna's service to transcend Yukta Vairagya principle, which we learnt in the earlier class. So, Prabhupada opens this purport with a very interesting line. If you see, just meditate on that point. Prabhupada says, it is not a question of embodied life. It's a very nice way of putting it. It is not a question of embodied life, but nature of soul is to be always active. Now, why is Prabhupada writing this? It is not a question of embodied life, but the nature of soul is always active. This is his hitting at the Mayavadis here. Because people usually think, the Mayavadis think, that activity is the nature of an embodied soul. That is why the Mayavadi renounces activity and adopts early renunciation, so-called renunciation. Does it make sense or no? Am I communicating or no? Lost you. Please again read this. It is not a question of embodied life. What is not a question of embodied life? Activity is not a question of embodied life. Please don't think that activity means somebody is embodied and therefore activity exists. The realm of activity exists even in the liberated condition. That's what Prabhupada is meaning here. Ashtakalya pastimes are going on there. So it's not that spiritual world is devoid of activity. However, activity in the material world is colored by the three modes of material nature. So therefore, some people are very passionate. They like to do a high level of physical activity. Right? So engage them in services for Krishna which demand intense physical activity. And they're very happy. They're very happy. Right? You tell them, oh, come and give Bhagavatam class. They say, oh, Prabhu, Hari Bol. They'll run away. If the temple forces them, no, you have to give, you know, Bhagavatam class. That is your service. They say, no, sorry. But wash the pots. Okay, do some physical activity. They say, yes, I like this, doing this for the Lord. So, and channelize them. Take a person like me and put me, you know, in kitchen to cook khichdi, and then you know what will happen. Correct? So, my propensities are not in that direction. My propensities are more for academics, education, that kind of. So, channelize that desire. If someone likes singing, channelize that in Krishna consciousness, right? Usually we like, what have we sung before Krishna consciousness? Bollywood. All Mohammad Rafi and, you know, Kishore Kumar or Bollywood, you know. Some people will sing Michael Jackson, right? But same thing what we do, Michael Jackson is also using drums and, you know, whatever. Then Gauravani comes, they are also using drum and guitar. So channelize that. So we are using the influence of the three modes of material nature in the service of, we are dovetailing that propensity in the service of Krishna. So that is the connection between what both of you said. So you are also right. The soul has to be active at the end of the day. You can't stop activity. And activity is not a sign of embodied soul. Activity will continue even after liberation. That's what Prabhupada is meaning here. Is it clear? So Srila Prabhupada is again setting the criteria or the timing for sannyas. Prematurely, no retirement. In any ashram, one can serve. That day we went for prasadam to Madhavanand Prabhu's house, and Mataji and Prabhuji were telling us about the regimen, the regular routine of Shankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj and Vishnupriya Mataji. It's amazing to see that. They are still in Grihastha ashram. In one sense, that is Vanaprastha ashram. If you actually see, it looks like Grihastha ashram, but it's actually Vanaprastha ashram, where the husband and wife have no other subject matter but the whole purpose of the marriage is to serve Krishna. Like that. What time Maharaj gets up, you said? 2:30 in the morning. 2:30. And he says that Maharaj gets up 2:30 every day and sleeps for what? 1 or 2 hours. And there is no nap. It's not that 2 hours he slept, therefore 4 hours in the day or 6 hours he's resting. No, not like that. That is me. If I come for Mangalarti one day, then I have to sleep. No. Otherwise, headache, vomiting. Okay. So, but here is Maharaj who does it on and on and on, and Mataji along with him. So you don't need any sannyasa robe or anything like that. This itself is enough to take one back to Godhead. Not only, you know, they are at that platform, but they are inspiring so many others also to follow. So an ashram is not an impediment at all to do that. And the kind of schedule they have in terms of jet setting, one day here, next day, some other timing, time zone, third day, and round the clock keep on doing that. And he says that Maharaj does all this from 2:30. He finishes all his chanting before Mangalarti, and then in Mangalarti, then they are dressing their deities, And by the time we all wake up from bed, everything is over. No? All the and then Maharaj is coming Bhagavatam class after that. And after that, immediately he told me that Maharaj sits and starts doing his ultimate self-realization emails. People from all around the globe hammering him with questions. Continuously he's on the job like that. So this is a kind of commitment. And he's doing it day after day, month after month, year after year. So that is a kind of... So this is called as ruchi. A taste has already come for Krishna consciousness. There is immense attachment, affection for Srila Prabhupada. No other external motivator is needed for this. So automatically this is as good as sannyas. You don't need to don any saffron robe here, right? The relationship between husband and wife is only to serve Krishna, not to enjoy each other's body like that. So this is sannyas. Every principle of sannyas is being followed here. So Srila Prabhupada is setting the criteria. Karmane vadhikarasya mahafaleshu kadachana. So everyone has a right to perform his adhikar, to perform karma. But that karma we are dovetailing in Krishna's service. And we'll talk more about that as we go on along. So we'll go to 6 now. This is an interesting verse. One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. So, Ruchi Mataji, you want to read?
There are many pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness but make a show of meditation, while actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment. Such pretenders may also speak on dry philosophy in order to bluff sophisticated followers, but according to this verse, they are the greatest cheaters. For sense enjoyment, one can act in any capacity of the social order, but if one follows the rules and regulations of this particular status, he can make gradual progress in purifying his existence. But he who makes a show of being a yogi while actually searching for the objects of sense gratification must be called the greatest cheater, even though he sometimes speaks of philosophy. His knowledge has no value because the effects of such a sinful man's knowledge are taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord. Such a pretender's mind is always impure, and therefore his show of yogic meditation has no value whatsoever.
Very powerful. And this particular verse has been expanded by my godbrother Gaurang Prabhu very nicely in a lecture called as Saints and Swindlers. So anyone who has not heard of that, how many people have heard this lecture? Any of you have heard this lecture? Okay, so let's just recap. Some of you have heard, we'll recap. It'll be a good revision for us. And for those of you who have not heard, no, it is a very good class. He has very systematically analyzed this verse. He has connected this with a Srimad Bhagavatam verse and then lectured on that. He has systematically characterized what are the types of cheaters that you will find. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that a cheater is called as a show bottle spiritualist. In Sanskrit day, it's called as Mithyachari. Mithya means false. And achar is activities. A Mithyachari is a person who is engaged in false activities, which will not take one back to the absolute truth, which will not help understand the absolute truth, or neither will it take anyone back to Godhead. So such Mithyacharis may accept any ashrama or varna, but at the end of the day, their goal is what? Sense enjoyment. They want to enjoy. So you will find in India also a lot of this bogus nonsense is going on now. We found one new, you know, Swamiji has emerged. He calls himself as Nityananda or whatever. No? You see him, he's always, you know, the complete chaos is there, right? Association with opposite sex and wearing a saffron robe and lecturing on shastras. But nobody's life is changing because of that. Nobody's turning back to Godhead by that, right? So it's complete chaos in the system. When someone is adopting a robe like that and then, you know, not following the principles of dharma. So and then there are so many such incarnations. Srila Prabhupada says that India is the world leader in such incarnations, in manufacturing such. And India is also the leading exporter of such incarnations. So this is what Gaurang Prabhu says in the class. Like that. Okay, so let's see the different types of Mithyacharis. Now before we get into that, the reference for whatever we are going to speak here, okay, is from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7. Text 15, 13 to 14. 13 and 14. Okay. So the reference is given here. So this is not some, you know, just an acronym which is put together. It is actually from the Shastras. The words are also translated as such. So Mithyacharis can be are also called as cheats. So it's very easy to remember cheat, C-H-E-A-T. And actually it's, I don't know if it's a coincidence or what, but it is actually like that. So the first type of Mithyacharis are called as Vidharmis. Vidharmi means what? In English, charlatan. So charlatans are those people who are against the principle of religion. So in the name of Dharma, they are preaching Vidharma. Dharma Badha Vidharma Asyat. In the name of Dharma, they are preaching Vidharma. So Gaurang Prabhu gives a very good example of ritualistic chanters. They are one type of Vidharmis, people who do ritualistic chanting. You may want to make notes on this. It's a subclass. Within charlatan, ritualistic chanter is a subclass. So there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, sorry, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where these ritualistic chanters are saying, Ati bada shukriti se snanera samay, Govinda pundari kaksha nama uchare. So these ritualistic chanters are saying that one needs qualification to be born in a particular type of family. Ati bada shukriti se. You must have shukriti to be able to chant these holy names. You should go take bath nicely. You know, first you must be born in a particular type of caste. Okay? And then you must go and take bath, and then you take bath and then start chanting Govinda Pundarikaksha Nama Uchara. So Lord Chaitanya has given refutation for this in the Sikshashtakam, where he says there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names of the Lord. Isn't it? What is that verse? Namna Makari Bahuda. Nija Sarva Shaktis. Tratrarpita Niyamita Smarane Na Kalaha. There is no time, there is no rules and regulations for chanting. But these Mithyacharis, charlatans or Vidharmis, they give a Vidharma. Against the principles of religion they are preaching. The next class of charlatan in the lecture he mentions is mundane bigots or casteists. And he gives an example of New Zealand. In New Zealand, there was one family, Indian family. So the boy got attracted to the girl somehow, and they had illicit affair. And then the girl got pregnant after that. Okay. So then the girl's parents approached the boy. You know, that obviously now marriage has to happen. The girl is carrying your son. So the parents are coming and consulting, you know, Maharaj, and telling that, you know, actually we are from Brahmana family, you know. So, but the girl is not Brahman family, etc. As if the activity was very Brahminical that was being done. So, this is called as following half religion kind of. You are trying to just, you know, act on your convenience. You are trying to use religion now. So, charlatan or pretender against the principles of religion. There is one more interesting example that Gaurang Prabhu gives in that class. Some rascal, he came and told that in India you have a lot of people, you know, such bogus people advising the, you know, Prime Minister and President and all these people. So this person, whoever, he said that all of India's problems is because of Vastu. India is not, doesn't have proper Vastu around it. You know, it has got oceans on three sides and, you know, hill on one side. And that is because, you know, there is a problem. So these are the kind of charlatans. Okay. So therefore we must take away the water, something he said. We must finish the water and convert into land or something. And Gaurang Prabhu says, no, not water, you must be finished first. So this is called a charlatan with Hermes. The second category is mentioned is called as paradharma, people who fall pseudo-religion or hoaxer, imitating the real religious systems. So one who follows religious principles which are enunciated by others. Somebody is starting a religious principle and everybody else is following. Some joker has started and everybody is following now. So this is called as pseudo-religion. So the Sanskrit verse is Anya Choditaha. It is mentioned. Some other, not true religion, something else this is. Anya. Whereas in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned Dharmam Tu Shakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. It is mentioned very clearly. Who can enunciate the principles of religion? Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na vai vidhu rishayo na apchapi devaha. So even the great mystic yogis or the people in the heavenly planets, even they are not qualified to enunciate religious principles. What is the third line? na siddha mukhya asura manushya. Siddha mukhya means what? The head of the mystic yogis. Even those people cannot enunciate real religious principles. Then, kutonu vidyadhara charanadaya. Even the vidyadhara charanadaya. And charanadaya. Vidyadhara? Charanadaya. These vidyadhara charanadaya, they are all people who are in a higher realm of existence than us. So, none of these people can enunciate real religious principles. So, the Lord is the only person, dharmam to shakshal, Bhagavad Pranitam. It has to come from the Lord and it has to come from the Mahajanas. So immediately then Lord follows it up. Who can give, who knows the real religious principle? Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu. Kumaro, Kapilo, Manu. Prahalado, Janako, Bhishmo, Balir, Vayasakir, Vayam. Vayam means myself. Who is talking this? Yamaraj is talking. This verse comes in the context of Ajamil's pastime. So he says that Lord can enunciate, but it comes to us through the Mahajanas. And Lord has clearly identified, these are the Mahajanas from whom the real religious principle should come. Nobody else can enunciate real religious principles. Like that. So, but in India, any man and his dog sometimes enunciate religious principles. Especially the Sahajiyas. They enunciate their own religious principles. They start some bogus philosophy saying that, you know, we will all dress up like gopis. No? And you are a peacock, I am a cow, no? And they will start actually dress up and walking like a peacock. This is happening. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was very, completely he stopped this system. He was very much against this, very heavy on these people, like that. Sahajiyas. Or we have nationalists who also enunciate imitating real religious systems. So Srila Prabhupada, there is an interesting example which is given, that once a man read this book called as Easy's Journey to Other Planets, which is written by Srila Prabhupada. So he came to Prabhupada and said, you have written Easy Journey to Other Planets. Yeah, Prabhupada said, yes, you can very easily travel to, you know, higher planets. But he said, okay, I don't mind traveling to higher planets, but can I return from there to Jhansi? This person was he was from Jhansi, he was too attached to his birthplace. Like that. So this was the kind of question. So Prabhupada said, why do you want to come back to Jhansi? And he said, no, that is my birthplace. No, how can I go somewhere and not come back there? So this is an attachment. Or the one more very nice example he was giving in that class, it talks about meditator, silent meditation. This is another form of paradharma, pseudo-religion, silent meditation. So this talks about a person who I think it was in US, who went to a library and he always wanted to know silent meditation, how to do. So he sat down and he got a book in the library of silent meditation. He sat and read that book for 4 hours and he didn't understand anything. And he got fed up with that book. So he went with that book and he was a bit frustrated. So he banged that book into the shelf. So shelf was a little bit moving here and there. When he kept that book, what happened was another book fell from that shelf into him. Which book was that? Perfection of Yoga by Prabhupada. And when the book fell, it opened on a page which clearly said that silent meditation is bogus in Kali Yuga, it will not work. That was the verse he saw and he became devotee. So this is how it happens. Prabhupada's Perfection of Yoga, that book was. So hoaxer, so people who follow pseudo-religion. The third type of charlatans or mithyacharis are people who follow upadharma, which means they oppose the Vedas out of false pride. Opposing the Vedas. Just because I am proud. I don't consider all that. Like that. And most of these people, the most of the so-called gods, they come under this category. Now this concept of calling oneself as God started much before recent age. Right? This started with a personality called Paundraka. If you read Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will find. So Paundraka, even when Lord Krishna was on the planet, he said that, excuse me, I have arrived, Lord Krishna has arrived, I am the real Krishna. Okay. So he had such audacity, he told Lord Krishna, Krishna has arrived, now you please give up your Sudarshan Chakra. Lord Krishna said, certainly, I will give up my Sudarshan Chakra, but on your neck. And then Paundraka was finished after that. Okay. So it started then. Also, Gaurang Prabhu gives an example of a man in South India who is very bulky, who calls himself as Kalki. So, Kalki avatars. in India. Okay, there is one man with his fat wife. You know, she calls herself as Padmavati or something.
As Mataji, but the problem is nobody protests. This is the problem. Nobody protests.
Nobody protests.
Nobody protests in public. That's the problem.
Very good. Very good point. So Gaurang Prabhu has got two lectures on that. So you must hear part one and part two both. Okay, whatever I am discussing right now is from part two. But part one, he tells exactly why people don't protest. You know what he says? Why people thrive? Because there is a demand. This is the basic of supply chain management. Where there is supply, there has to be a demand. We want cheap things. And he gives example. In college, when we see a book is costing 900 rupees, immediately we say, oh, not 900 rupees. How many pages it has got? 200 pages. Okay, 200 into 50 paise. Comes to 100 rupees. I can Xerox. Right? So we are used in material life to buy cheap things. And when we come to the realm of bhakti, there also we want to attain God very cheaply. Therefore, there is a demand. And these people promise that, oh, don't worry. What chanting for regulator? Baba is there, no. Don't worry. Come to Baba. Sir Baba, he is Kalki avatar. He will take care. Okay. 50,000 rupees per darshan. He will take care. He will give blessings. Like that.
One lakh
what is happening?
Puja.
Huh?
1 lakh for
Paja. 1 lakh for Paja Puja. See, he is in the rates, rate card. And there will be cola rates for increment every year. T and time and material rates.
Emergency darshan 2 lakhs.
Emergency darshan 2 lakhs. Huh? Mithyacharis. In fact, he said in that class that so many people are calling in India themselves as Kalki avatar that what happened, the media, they invited all these Kalki avatar. They didn't tell one Kalki avatar, another Kalki avatar is coming. So they called all of them on television and then they told all of them, now you'll decide who is Kalki avatar. And people had a gala time, you know, listening to that. Whereas now you contrast that with the mood of Prithu Maharaj. When we read the section of Prithu Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam, who is Prithu Maharaj? Krishna, he is incarnation of God. Prithu Maharaj comes in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vandis and the Magadis, they are glorifying Prithu Maharaj. You are verily the personality of Godhead. But what Prithu Maharaj said? Hang on. Please don't call me God. Let me do something first. Completely opposite. So there is a contrast we see in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is called as egotist. The third kind of mithyacharis. The fourth kind is called as abuser or chal. Chal means what? Interpretation by word jugglery. Example is given here. One Prabhupada's godbrother went to the king of Manipur. Okay. The king of Manipur told me, I understand Bhagavad Gita. He said, which is your favorite verse? He says, Sarvasya chaham hriday sannivishto. So he said, what is the meaning of that? And the king of Manipur told him, it is about tea. Cha. Cha means tea. Chai. Okay. Sarvasya chaham. Means everyone likes tea. And what kind of tea it should be? Hridi sannivishto. That completely, you know, satisfies the heart. Like that. So this is an example. By word jugglery. Interpretation by word jugglery. Also he gives example. Another example he gives of Shuklam Bharadaram Vishnu. So the king went to the whole kingdom and asked, what is the meaning of that? So different word, people are giving different meanings of that. One person gave told meaning that it refers to the 50 paisa, paisa coin or something like that. Shuklam Bharadaram, something.
It is called silver coin.
Silver coin. Shuklam Bharadaram. Vishnu Sashivarnam Chatur Bhujam. No? What is Chatur Bhujam, he said? Because it has got image of some four arms of some, I don't know what. Okay. Prasanna Vadanam Dhyayet. So everyone is happy who gets money. Prasanna. Everyone is prasanna. Sarva Vigna Upashantaya. When you get money, all your obstacles are gone. So this is word jugglery. So this is how people are interpreting it, you know, like that. So that is called as abuser or chala. So in this context, he mentions in the class that in Sanskrit, there are three types of meanings. One is literal meaning to something in Sanskrit. One is called as the secondary meaning. And third is called as allegory. For example, what is an example of allegory in Srimad Bhagavatam? Puranjana pastime. It's an allegory. So he talks about a deep, dark well, etc., etc., andakupam. Whereas actually he's referring to grihasthashram. So it refers to different you know, objects. It's more of, it's like, what do you call that in figures of speech? Allegory, isn't it? Allegory, yeah. So allegory is, so literal meaning, secondary meaning and allegorical. And he gives an example that in Sanskrit, the word saindava means salt as well as horse. So one has to apply, a real acharya will apply that real exact Sanskrit meaning in that context. For example, if you are sitting in a dinner table and you say, can you please bring some saindava? You will not bring a horse to the dinner table. You will bring salt. There is a context to that. So the acharyas know the subtle meanings and know how to apply it. That's why Bhagavad Gita as it is required. Because an expert acharya will correctly translate the intricacies of Sanskrit for us. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3, you may want to note that, Canto 10, Chapter 14.3, it is said, Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. This is a very interesting translation, with refutation for abusers. I'll read out this. It is said, those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge with their body, words and mind, and offer all respects to the descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly such people conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within these three worlds. So all these people, none of them will be able to conquer Krishna. But a devotee who simply accepts and serves the Lord, he will be able to conquer the Lord. That is what this verse means. 10.14.3. So please read the purport there. It's an interesting purport. Okay. The last type of Mithyachari is the transgressor or Abhash. A person who gives a dim reflection of the actual philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So, this talks about a pretentious religious system that neglects the real religious system. So, an example is given of not following an ashram. The example given is of Indra. We actually had an essay also on this. The fall down of, what is it? The adoption of sannyasa robe in Kali Yuga. How people don sannyasa robe for their own nefarious activities like that. So it all started with Indra, who donned the sannyasa robe. What happened? Indra wanted to spoil the sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj. So he stole. Prithu Maharaj had done how many sacrifices? 99 sacrifices. If he would have done one more sacrifice, Prithu Maharaj, he would have become a competitor to Indra. So Indra was very envious. So he stole the horse of Prithu Maharaj. And then when Prithu Maharaj was chasing him along with his son, at that time Indra knew he can't escape. So immediately he donned the saffron robe. Because Kshatriyas don't kill a person who has adopted saffron robe. So that was for... So Prabhupada says that was the time from where the sannyasi ashram started falling down in society. Okay, so this is an example of transgressor, a dim reflection of the real religious principles like that. Also, Anirudh Prabhu, you were mentioning to me in the last class, he was giving an example of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. When they went, one Brahmana called them, called them to their house and he told them, I'll offer you bliss. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda went there, actually, he found that this sannyasi was living with a woman in the house, and that bliss referred to some alcohol or something, intoxicating beverage. So immediately they found out and both Dwar Nitai, they started running out away from that house. Like that. That pastime is given of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. So this is transgressor or abhas, a dim reflection of what is the actual. So Prabhupada is, so Lord Krishna is saying in verse 7, on the other hand, this is 6. One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called as a pretender. But in the next verse, what is Lord saying? In verse 7, on the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is far, far superior than all these people. A person who is nobly, laudably accepting a proper grihastha ashram and who is following the tenet. Such a person is far more glorious, who is doing the duties as prescribed of his ashram. A karma yogi. Much more. Should we read the purport? Or?
We have time.
Okay, maybe we'll read this one purport. Yamuna Jivan Ru, do you want to read?
instead of becoming a pseudo-transcendentalist for the sake of wanton living and sense enjoyment, it is far better to remain in one's own business and execute the purpose of life, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the kingdom of God. The prime swartha gati, or goal of self-interest, is to reach Vishnu. The whole instruction of Varna and Ashrama are designed to help us reach the goal of life. A householder can also reach this destination by regulated service in Krishna consciousness. For self-realization, one can live a controlled life as prescribed in the Shastras and continue carrying out his business without attachment, and in that way make progress. A sincere person who follows the method is far better situated than the false pretender who adopts show-bottle spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than the charlatan meditator who meditates only for the sake of making a living.
So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here that an honest attempt at purification by following the regulations of karma yoga, by one following one's own varna and ashrama, is much more glorious than any of these mithyacharis or people who follow false activities. So Srila Prabhupada also reminds us from the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the purpose of all this, following this varna ashrama dharma at the end of the day? To satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atta Umbir Dvija Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhagashah Swa Anushtistasya Dharmasya Samasiddhir Hari Toshanam. So the purpose of this is there in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it is probably the second chapter. Second chapter, right? Yeah, I can't remember the words, but you can Google on Atta Umbir Dvija Shrestha. Like that. So the goal of all Varnashrama Dharma is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether we are in grihe thako, vane thako, sada hari bole thako. Sukhe dukhe bhulo na karo, vadane hari naam kore, gaye gora madhur shore. This is a very nice bhajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So grihe thako, vane thako. Whether you are in grihasthashram or whether you are in Vanaprasthashram, sada hari bole thako. What is most important is husband and wife together are contributing to Srila Prabhupada's mission. It doesn't matter which ashram you are in. And in Kali Yuga, the safest ashram is Grihasthashram. Where the husband and wife can collectively cooperate with one another. Also, they can bring up a nice child in Krishna consciousness. One soul can be delivered. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said that, you know, you must have so many kids, hundreds of kids. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, or Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, you must, Vaishnava can have hundreds of kids. As many kids as you want, you can have.
Okay? If he can deliver.
If he can deliver. Because Rishabh Dev says, what is the prime duty of a father? Guru na sasyat, swajana na sasyat. Pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. What is the other next line? Daivam na shashyat na patish cha sasyan na mochayed yaha samupeta mrityum. Which means what? Lord Rishabhdev says, one should not become a guru. Guru na shashyat. Guru mat bano. Don't become a guru. And then swajana na satya. Don't become a relative of anyone. Pita na shashyat. Don't become a father. Janani na sasyat. Don't become a mother or a father. Don't become a pati. Don't become a husband. And don't become a worshipable demigod. Unless you can deliver your dependents, don't become one. But if we take to Grihasthashram, if we have a child, then it is very, very important that it's our duty as father and mother to deliver that child from the samsara sagara. The child may become a doctor, he may study in Melbourne High or he may study in Melbourne Low. It doesn't matter. Right? More important as parents is that our child is delivered from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. Nothing else matters at the end of the day. Okay. So Prabhupada is reminding us here. And Prabhupada is saying, a sincere sweeper is better than a charlatan meditator. We should always act according to our level or position and never try to imitate higher levels without purification. And thus follow the guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra.
So Srila Prabhupada is describing a detached householder here. And the detached householder is much better than the so-called Mithyacharis who are adopting the saffron robe. This is a very nice learning for us. So in text 8, perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. Perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. It's very important to maintain the physical body. If we are not able to maintain the physical body, then obviously, you know, our devotional life cannot be very good. Therefore, for all devotees, I was sharing this in Milpak program also today. This is from Radhanath Swami Maharaj's one of the lectures, which I didn't hear personally, but Nityanand Prabhu, my god brother, he told me that Maharaj has said that all devotees, the first, and you can correct me if I'm going wrong. So the first most important thing for a devotee is health. He said, devotee must take care of health. If health is gone, everything is gone. We can't practice devotional life. As much as I'm saying that, I know one person in this room is glancing at me sarcastically. Okay. He keeps telling me to do treadmill, which I have been avoiding. I will do it. I'm on camera actually. I'll try to do it. So, devotee's first responsibility is to take care of health. Health is gone, nothing else will work. Second is job. If we lose our job, it's very difficult to be consistent in bhakti. Because we are not at that platform. We are not in the platform of Avadhuta Brahmana. Oh, job is gone, okay, you know, somehow, you know, that's okay. Very few people can actually go through such a turbulence without getting impacted. So, as long as we have a job, we must do our job responsibly. So that then we don't end up, you know, being kicked out like that. Because, why does a devotee go to office? Not because, we don't have aspirations. Oh, we must become general manager or vice president of the company. What is the goal of Varanashrama Dharma? What is the goal of life? Goal of life is to end the samsara sagara, finish the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. This Kali Yuga is not a place for a gentleman. That is what Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said. This Kali Yuga is going to get worser and worser. Rainfall is going to get scantier and scantier. Apple products will become cheaper and cheaper, and Apple will become more and more expensive. Actually, it is like that. Technology will become cheaper, natural products will become expensive. And tomorrow, we'll have to work like a donkey to even afford, you know, some vegetables. Right? So that is the problem. And then it is mentioned that those things will also dry up, and then the only solace for people will be killing animals and eating. And when that is also not possible, then man will kill man and eat. That is how Kali Yuga is progressing. These are all prescribed in the scriptures. Who wants to live here? Nobody wants to live here. So an intelligent man, this is a rare human form of life that we have got. This opportunity may or may not come. So better to finish up our activities in this lifetime itself. Get detached from whatever material attachments that we have by getting a param drishtva nivartante, by getting a higher taste, engaging our entire day in Krishna consciousness, not keeping free time in our day where the mind can go here, there and watch movie and, you know, some cricket and some internet browsing, you know. Mind can take us anywhere. So we have to understand this. So in text 8, Srila Prabhupada is, Lord Krishna is reiterating that the duty of a kshatriya is to fight and to work, not to renounce. So, because Arjuna is concerned that by working, he will develop material attachments and desires. He is concerned about that. So, Lord Krishna wants to differentiate ordinary work, which is entangling, from karma yoga, which is liberating in nature. Ordinary work will bind. Karma yoga will liberate. Therefore, that elaboration he is giving in the next verse, which is text 9. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction. Whose satisfaction? Vishnu's satisfaction. And in that way, you will always remain free from bondage. So this is a very important verse to understand. In this verse, Lord Krishna is explaining, he is elevating Nishkama Karma Yoga, which we have discussed, you know, when we discussed the second chapter. So in this verse is elevating Nishkama Karma Yoga, which was from the text 3.3 to 3.8. He has been doing that in one sense. To the level of bhakti, by including the knowledge of Vishnu. So this is called as Akama Bhakti.
What did we describe Nishkama Bhakti as? Anyone remembers?
One should not be attached to the
fruits of the result. So Nishkama, there are two components. We saw knowledge and we saw detachment. And together they made Nishkama Karma. Right? Now, to that, add one more thing, devotion. There is knowledge, there is detachment, and then there is devotion. There is a verse also in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3.23.56. You may want to note down. 3.23.56. Neha yat karma dharmaya, na viragaya kalpate, na tirta pada sevaya, jivanapi mrutohisaha. This is a verse from third canto. It says that as long as our work, whatever work that we do, we can go to office and come. No problem. No problem in working. But as long as that work does not lead us to religious life. As long as the work does not lead us to religious life, as long as that religious life does not lead us to renunciation and detachment, and as long as that renunciation or detachment does not lead us to bhakti, then jivanapi mrutohisa. Such a person, even though living, is to be considered a dead man. This is from third canto. So work has to lead to religious life. Religious life has to lead, or spirituality, that has to lead us to detachment and renunciation, and that has to lead us to bhakti. If this cycle is not complete, such a person is to be called as already a dead man. So he is just walking. Like Srila Prabhupada came to Melbourne on a Monday morning, I think. He saw people running from here to there in Swanston Street or somewhere. So devotees asked, what are you seeing, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, flapping dead bodies. That's what I am seeing. Everyone is already dead. They are running from here to there. People have a dead look on their face on Monday mornings, right? Everyone, nobody knows what is the goal of life. Just working, working, working. That's all. Like that. So here, there's the principle now of karma, vikarma and akarma is being taught, which we will also do when we study Isopanishad. In Isopanishad, I think it is mantra 012. In Isopanishad mantra 2, what was that verse? Kurvan eveha karmani. Kurvan eveha karmani jiji vishe chatam samaha evam tvayi nanya tetosti na karma lipyate nare. This is from Isopanishad 0th verse. 0th is invocation, om purnamadam. And then the first verse is Ishavashyam idam sarvam. I think this is the second verse. We can go back and refer, you know, offline. But there, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if one works on the platform of Krishna consciousness, one can continue working for millions of years and karma will not touch you. So, if we work, if we do fruitive activities, which is called as karma. Karma means what? Activities in line with the religious scriptures for sense gratification. If we do that, we are at least law abiders. We are not lawbreakers, but the goal is sense gratification. So by doing that activity, we are doing fruitive work by doing karma kanda. By following karma kanda, what are we doing? We are begetting good karma or sukarma, good karma. By good karma, what will happen? We'll get the fruits of good karma, which is heavenly planets. But then what will happen? We'll get attached to the lifestyle of heavenly planets. When we come down eventually, we have to come down, right? Heavenly planet is like Hilton Hotel. You have $50,000 at the rate of $1,000 per day, you can live there for 50 days. But 51st day, you have to come back to your 2-bedroom or your rented house. Correct? So you have to come back. But when you come back, because you have got used to the heavenly planets, you want the same luxury in this planet also, which you will not get by regular means. So you will try different means. Right? In heavenly planets, you can enjoy with 10 wives. When you come here, government will take you and put you for, no, throw you inside the jail for, what is that, polygamy or whatever. Right? Or illicit sex. Not possible, right? So therefore, we get used to that. So people who do ritualistic activities and get used to sense gratification, it's very difficult for them to come out of that standard. So they do vikarma and then go down to the hellish planets. After suffering, again they come. Oh, earthly planet. Oh, enough of suffering. Let me again go to heavenly planets. So going up and down and up and down. Whereas a devotee who is neither doing sukarma nor doing vikarma is still also doing activities, but for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. So even if I am fighting ordinarily should take you to the hellish planets, killing people. But here, since you are doing under the instruction of Krishna, na karma lipyate nare. Karma will never touch you. Anything activity that you do in the service of Krishna. So some people say Mahabharata is all about fighting, you know, Bhagavad Gita, therefore I don't like fighting. But then I told you, like last time, somebody was arguing me like that. I asked him, what if someone strips your wife naked in front of everyone? What will you do? You will say, Haribol Prabhu, no, non-violence, you know. Take my clothes also. Will you say like that? You will shoot the rascal, right? So when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, that's what they did. When the modesty of a woman is outraged, what else do you expect? Right? People have to be killed. So Lord Krishna said, kill these aggressors. Five types of aggressors. What to speak of Bhagavad Gita? Even the Dharma Shastras are also saying that. We studied that, right? Dharma Shastra argument, Artha Shastra argument. We studied all that in our first two chapters, right? So what will you do? So we have to really understand that when we act under the instructions of Lord Narayana, no, karma will never touch us. So that is a platform of a karma. And when we continuously, and that platform we can do millions and millions of years. All akarma activities are liberating in nature. But all karmic activities are binding in nature. Like that. So that is text 9. So, I'll just sum up the section conclusion of whatever we did in the first 9 verses. So there are 3-4 key points which are coming. First is, liberation or bondage is not determined by one's activities, but by one's consciousness in performing those activities. Clear? The activity is not important, but the consciousness is important. Thus, renunciation is not giving up of activities, but it is the giving up of the attachment to the fruitive activity. That is real renunciation. That is first point. Second point is, renunciation of activities without necessary training, knowledge and purification will lead to destruction in the path of spiritual advancement. Without prescribed duties, an unfulfilled desire for activity will lead the premature renunciate towards sinful action. That's the second point which comes as a conclusion. And the third point is, self-purification and self-realization are the purposes of performing all these prescribed duties. Gradually one has to get elevated by performing prescribed duties. So in the next section, the question is now arising in the mind of Arjuna. He is saying, fine, you have told me all this, but what if a person is overly attached to material life? Despite all these instructions, attachments don't go so easily. So he is saying, what if a person is overly attached to material life and cannot perform Nishkama Karma Yoga? You are asking me, you know, don't worry about results, you know, and continue doing your work. He is saying, difficult for a normal person. So, to explain this for ordinary conditioned souls, Lord Krishna will now start describing what is called as the yoga ladder. From verses 10 to 16 in the next class, from Karma Kanda to Karma Yoga. So from next class, we will begin the yoga ladder. So this is the lowest in the yoga ladder. Before this, yoga doesn't even start. Yoga comes from the word yuj, which we will do in the next class, to connect. Connection to God doesn't even start below this platform. So we'll talk about yoga ladder in the next class. Any points?
We got the answer for this question in the yesterday's material study group, but I just want to get your opinion, Guru. Why Krishna is referring Vishnu in this verse? He could have told.
I also had that question.
Yeah. So because Krishna, Arjuna is seeing Krishna as a friend. Right now, Krishna has not told him that I am Vishnu. He has not shown the Virat Roop. After he shows the Virat Roop, then, you know, Arjuna is getting convinced that, oh, I understand you are that Narayana, Asita, Devala, Narada, everybody has said. But now Pratyaksha you have told me. Because right now, he still accepted him only as a spiritual master. So Krishna was friend. From friend, he accepted as spiritual master. But now he will understand Krishna later as Bhagavan himself. Like that. Then he is seeing that Virat Roop. He is saying, oh my sorry, I have kicked you so many times, you know, as a charioteer. Please don't mind, you know. All those mood will come later on. And then Krishna will give instructions like Bhagavan after that. So right now Lord is saying Vishnu.
But when he went and requested him to help him in the war,
Prabhuji,
did he know that he is Krishna himself, or how that should be interpreted?
Okay, for a devotee, Arjuna, see, a devotee who is in the higher rasas forgets the godhood of Godhead. Okay, this is a different subject matter. This is a subject matter of Raganuga Bhakti. Okay, so these devotees, but because Arjuna, it is said, while breathing also, Krishna, Krishna, that was his attachment to the Lord. So he loved him so much as a friend. Okay, so Krishna then, but then Krishna put him in this bewilderment. Right? And then Krishna tells him, I am God. Like that. But when we are in, when we are in the realm of Raganuga Bhakti, the godhood of God is suppressed. So one has to be reminded, oh no, this is Bhagavan. Yashoda mother, when Krishna ate dirt, she saw all the whole universes and then she fell down like that. And then she thought, oh, I think he is God. But then Nanda Maharaj is still not, no, I think some black magic has been done on him. Something like that. The mood is very different. They are not willing to, they can't see him as God. For them, their rush with him will completely get spoiled with God picture coming. And Lord also doesn't want that. So he also makes her forget. So this is a special relationship between the Lord and the devotee. So this we will understand only when we study Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why Bhagavad Gita has to be studied along with Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. All Rasa Tattva is coming there. Here it's all philosophy. So if we study Bhagavatam and then study Bhagavad Gita, then you will have completely new meaning you can derive from Bhagavad Gita. Like that. Okay, we'll stop here because any other questions, we can take it in the next class. So put it in the car park. Yeah? Srila Prabhupada ki.